Happy Saturday, Nashville. Forest Company brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, and Jake Wallman broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership where the buzz is always about great service. Should be a fun show today. So happy to have you with us. We'll talk some Titans here as phase three of OTAs have started. We got to see Cam Ward and others on the field this week. We'll also talk an exciting first day of the NCAA baseball tournament. Big games for Vandy, big games for Tennessee. They both play today with a chance to get into the final game, the regional championship, and a chance to move on to the Super Regionals. Nick Frazier, how are you this morning?
Hello, Jake. Jake Lyman, not Jake Wallman.
You got Jake and Jake this morning.
Yeah, you got double Jakes. Doing great, man. This is awesome. College baseball at its finest yesterday. Vandy, we'll probably talk a little bit more about that, but squeaking through, I mean, for the most part. And, just everything else. Mississippi State won yesterday, which was great. And we're in studio having a blast.
We love it. Yeah. We love it. Yeah, great day of baseball yesterday. Vandy comes back from down 3-0, getting no hit through six innings, and rallies to win it 4-3. Tennessee able to get a win over Miami of Ohio in their first game. Vandy will play late tonight against Louisville. That is an 8 o'clock first pitch, 7:45 pregame right here on the game. Tennessee taking on Cincinnati, who was able to get a win yesterday in the Knoxville Regional. Let's start with our headlines today. Nick Frazier, I guess there's not really much of a choice here. No Connor Newt today, so you lead us off.
Yeah, no Connor Newt until...
until 9:45.
There we go. Cardinals lost terribly yesterday, 11-0, so I can't go with the Cardinals. Can I just, from my headline, can it be not a somber one, just like negative sort of?
Go ahead.
All right. You know, my favorite soccer team, you know, AC Milan, they go and sign Massimiliano Allegri. Nobody knows who that is. Former, I guess, manager for that team. It's a lateral move. It's very frustrating. So I just got a lot of anger just to exude out of my favorite sport teams. The Knicks are losing right now against the Pacers. Need that to be turned around. Cardinals, like I said, lost 11-0 yesterday. Not a good – and the Broncos of NRL, they lost to the Sea Eagles. Your favorite.
The Manly Sea Eagles.
I mean,
you know,
it was like 34-6, so I'm just like, why are all my teams losing all at once?
It's tough.
When it rains, it pours.
You know, it's always darkest before the dawn. Maybe they'll all start to figure it out too. Knicks play tonight. Chance to get it to game 7 back at Madison Square Garden.
Knicks in 7, baby. Knicks in 7.
All the other series in the conference finals just haven't been good. All the other three – between the NHL and the NBA have only gone 5 games, so maybe this is the one to save us, give us a classic between the Pacers and the Knicks. For my headline, big week, College Football 26 trailer came out, and I just want to point out, Enter Sandman, the background of the game, they got the crowd a cappella going on. We love it. I feel like I have to buy it now.
Yeah. It's almost like an immediate pre-order purchase.
Right. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to. It comes out in July. You know, college football video games, I haven't played the 25 very much lately, but I feel like I'm starting to, you know, get excited for the new one. Comes out in about a month.
It comes in phases.
Right.
Like you first purchase the game, you're going to play it for like two days to 3 days, and a couple months go by.
Right.
And then there's that 3-4 month window of like, I'm not going to play it that
much. Yeah, it's like, I got a little bored, but I feel like I'm starting, it's creeping back in a little bit. So
seeing Road to Glory start in high school, I'm just.
Right.
Or not Road to Glory.
Road to Glory. Yeah. Starting in high school, that's big. They got cross play for dynasties now, you know. It feels like it's not going to just be the same game a year later.
Yeah, coaches are in the game.
Coaches are in the game. Yeah.
Derek Mason, MTSU.
Right. Clark Lee's in there. Josh Heupel's in there. I don't know if I've seen a ton of coaching staffs have announced that all three of their coaches are in there. Head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, which will be cool. Instead of just these random made-up names, now you get these actual coaches. You can play against Ryan Day or Kirby Smart or whoever it is. So, Lane Kiffin. So, I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun. Trailer was cool. And, you know, we'll learn more. I wish Connor was here. This is his favorite topic, talking about college
stadium
football
pulse.
Video game. Stadium Pulse. They said that they've redone the Stadium Pulse a little bit. So, excited for that. And a big week. Also, just want to point out, Tigers
best record in baseball by a game and a half. Tarik Skubal going today.
Still the best team in baseball.
Might be making my pick in the wild card later at the end of the show. Jake Wallman, good morning. What is your headline?
Good morning to you both. Frazier, you know, you always have the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, they've been terrible at football, too, so let me just reiterate that.
Baseball.
Yes, baseball is their bread and butter.
Yeah.
So hopefully that stays the same.
So I saw an interesting quote from former Tennessee pitcher Chase Burns, who is now with the Chattanooga Lookouts, killing it, and good for him, killing it in the AAA. And it was just an interesting quote on how he kind of saw his time at Tennessee, and you know, it kind of encapsulates what college athletics is as a whole right now. He said, yeah, it was weird seeing them win it, but I'm thinking about the long-term goals. He said, this goes back to, you know, his mind and idea around transferring to Wake Forest a couple years ago. It's awesome that those guys won the national title, and I'm happy for them, but a national championship wouldn't have helped me develop and be the starter that I want to be. I'm talking about playing for 10 or 15 years in the big leagues. That's something I want to do, and I don't think a national championship can top a 15-year big league career. I wish I would have won a national championship, of course, but not everybody can say that they went second overall. It plays hand in hand. I'm happy that they won it and they deserve it all, but I'm also happy for myself and my hard work. I think that this is a really, really interesting quote because, you know, in the era of where it feels like college athletes kind of think for themselves at the time and not about the team as a whole, it kind of gives Tennessee fans, I think, a little bit more clarity, a little bit more vindication about him transferring. When he transferred at the time, it was, oh, wow, this kind of sucks. You know, we lose a key arm in our rotation. You know, who are we going to slide into that Saturday-Sunday slot? And now you don't feel as bad about it because, I mean, I would for me personally, I would rather have had the national championship than, you know, if he had stayed at Tennessee and then he goes second overall, because second overall picks don't always hit.
He made $9 million in his signing bonus, though.
I think he's doing all right.
I understand why Tennessee fans are like, he's kind of coping and saying, well, I still went second overall. I want a 10 to 15-year big league career. I don't need the national championship. But when he transferred to Wake Forest, I think he believed that he could win a national championship there. They were, if I'm not mistaken, Wake was the number one overall team preseason last year.
They were.
So, like, I think he thought he could get the best of both worlds. Wake Forest, known for being able to develop pitchers, and also had a chance to win a national championship. I get it. It, you know, in hindsight, you didn't win a national championship. The team you left did. But I also get what Chase Burns is saying. And if he does end up having a 10 to 15-year big league career, maybe he can credit that to his time at Wake Forest.
And honestly, that's the ultimate goal. I mean, as long as you have a long, prolonged, you know, pro career, you'll be looking at your college career and you're just thinking, oh, that's just a little stepping stone. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the grand scheme of it all, don't I guess, prioritize what's going on in college. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
I try not to look too much into that.
Right. And it's like no one's going to remember whether he won a national championship or not if he ends up being a Cy Young and at the big league level. Like, no one remembers what Justin Verlander did when he was at ODU. I get it. That's a smaller program. But, like,
but still,
these big league pitchers, if you're good enough, you kind of distance yourself from whatever you did in college. It may not matter in the future.
And I think I don't want to magnetize the whole conversation, but this whole NIL era has magnetized a lot of these student athletes into thinking, oh, I need to really prioritize my time in college. No, like, don't tunnel vision yourself into just college athletics. Look for the future. Don't cap yourself at a ceiling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
That's what frustrates me the most with athletes now. Just saying.
It's a good point. Jake Wallman, I don't know if you saw, but you do have questions
of the
day today.
Okay. Yes, I do. So I saw the slate come out Thursday for all the college baseball games, 11.7 on X. You know, put out that they do it every year with the schedule and where the games will be broadcasted. And we've talked about this before with the first weekend of the NCAA basketball tournament. What is the best weekend in sports?
That is a great question. That is a great question. What is the best weekend in sports? I think there will be a lot of good answers.
Yes, there are a lot of great answers.
This is obviously a great one, especially with what's going on. You know, we can see on the TV here in studio in Oklahoma City, the Women's College World Series is this weekend, opening weekend of regionals in baseball. Mm-hmm. You've got NBA, NHL playoffs. It's a good one, but a lot of other good ones out there. Great question. What is the best weekend in sports out of the year? We will answer coming up at 10 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we're going to get into the Titans a little bit. Phase 3 of OTA started this week. We heard from some Titans players. We saw some players on the field. Or some takeaways. We'll get to that coming up next here on Four's Company. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman with you on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune into Totally Hits 93.3 tomorrow as the Nashville Cats take on the Corpus Christi Tritons. Pregame starts at 4:30. Kickoff is at 5, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits 93.3 app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Four's Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman with you. No Connor Newt right now. He will join us at 9:45 for Newt's Notes, live from Knoxville, Tennessee. Before then, let's talk some Titans. Phase 3 of OTA started this week, and a lot of headlines came out of it. I did want to start with one of the bigger ones. J.C. Latham talked a lot about losing some weight, said he was playing around 360 pounds at one point in the season last year. Said he's down to like 330 now. He looks trimmer, looks leaner. What do we think? Do we think this is a good thing or a bad thing for J.C. Latham? Because a lot of people, I know Jared said this, others said this, that he was playing left tackle with a right tackle's body. Now it feels like he's gone the opposite direction. He's playing right tackle with more of a left tackle's body.
I would have to disagree. I think even though he's slimmer, I think it's better for his knees. And even J.C. Latham has mentioned that when you lose weight, your knees are going to feel a lot better. He said the conditioning feels better for him. I think this is a big beneficial thing for the Titans in general, because as a rookie, when you come in as a left tackle and you're weighing 360, 370, and you're not used to the way a lot of edge rushers are coming at you, more than likely you're always looking at a rookie coming in underweight. He was practically at the weight, maybe a little bit more than some. So then you want to kind of look at it as now he's on the right side of the line, natural position, at a lighter weight. It's a win-win situation, and it all falls on Dan Moore Jr. And I don't want to, you know, avoid the conversation, but I think J.C. Latham is in the right position where he needs to be. And I'm not just talking about actual position on the field, but just in general. Like, his physique, his conditioning, I think he's on the right path.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I'm a lot less worried about J.C. Latham than I am about Dan Moore Jr. And the PFF list for top 32 players at every position came out earlier this week, and neither tackle for the Titans in the top 32, which is, it's disappointing, maybe not unexpected. I think Dan Moore, when you sign him, you know that if he was a top 32 tackle in the league, he probably wouldn't have gotten out of Pittsburgh.
Right.
So I think that's kind of expected. I think you would hope J.C. Latham would be a top 32 tackle in the league at this point. Maybe this is the year that he's able to step into that role. But those two guys, they're going to play a huge role on this team, and I think you need both of them to probably be top 40 tackles this year to feel good about Cam Ward back there.
Yeah, I agree to that. Also, too, like, Pro Football Focus and all them that write all these reports on players and with their top 40, top 30, whatever on these lists, for J.C. Latham, it's hitting the reset button. There is no tape on him playing like a full season of right tackle in the NFL. So you can't really knock him for that. And I think that's what a lot of these reporters and not reporters, what I'm saying, like the people that put out these grades and lists, that they're already knocking the Titans because there is nothing on them, which is fine. But you need to be able to go in an open mind saying, you know what, this guy was really good in college. This guy was pretty decent at left tackle for the most part his rookie year. You got to equate that a little bit. I mean, obviously you base it all off NFL talent for your list, but at the same time, you should do something like that.
Yeah, and I think Latham is going to end up being a really good right tackle, but he didn't look great at the end of last season. Maybe that was a lot of the weight issues, and he said that he started to feel it a little bit playing at 360. Again, now he's down to 330. Mm-hmm. Looks better. We'll see how it plays out in year two for J.C. Latham. Cam Ward out there with his full team and going offense versus defense for the first time. We haven't gotten to see a ton, and I know the general consensus of people who watched him this week was he looked pretty good. There's a video circulating from yesterday of a little sidearm throw. Adam Schefter put it out there. I think, you know, all of the aggregate accounts, Dove and Ari Myrov, they all put it out there.
ML Football, all that.
Like, it's one throw, but I think that throw is an example of why the Titans thought he was worth the number one overall pick, because he has a little bit of that Mahomes to his game of just like, I don't care what platform I'm throwing off of or what arm angle I'm throwing off of. I'm going to throw a perfect spiral and I'm going to put it right where I want to. Again, it's a throw in practice in May. It's not that big of a deal. But Adam Schefter putting it out there, I think maybe can open the eyes to some people outside of Nashville to like, oh, maybe Cam Ward was worth the number one overall pick for the Titans and can end up being a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and two, you mentioned the Mahomes comparison. It's like he has the Mahomes football moxie, whereas when he's doing conversations and, you know, talking to reporters, it's a completely different person, which I think is incredible. And to your point about the sidearm, everybody's seeing all this massive, you know, recognition of the Titans. I mean, this is probably an odd thing to say, but maybe that flexes them into a potential, you know, spot to be in primetime.
Yeah.
I think with this team not having, what, any primetime
games?
No
primetime games.
Maybe later on in the season they get flexed into a Thursday game. I mean,
I think that Chiefs game, well, actually, we said the Chiefs game probably can't be flexed because they play 4 days later on Christmas, so maybe not. But the 49ers game late in the season, something like that, I think there's a chance that they get flexed because Cam Ward, even though I don't think the Titans are going to be very good this year, I think Cam Ward is going to be exciting enough that, let's say, one of those late Sunday night football games in week 16 or 17 is a horrible game. Like, two teams that had higher expectations but are out of the playoff picture, I would rather see Cam Ward than, you know, Tua Tagovailoa for the Dolphins. Dolphins have five primetime games. Maybe they're out of the playoff race at that point. I'd rather see the young guy who maybe hasn't been shown to a national audience at this point. And I think that would get more eyes on TVs. But
I agree. I think the NFL should change their, I guess, primetime format for the most part a little bit later on in the season when there's not great games. Just flex it to the teams that are having some promise to their franchise.
Right.
But as for Cam Ward, though, at practice, seems to be in great form.
Seems to be looking good, and it seems like he's taken a leadership role on already. We're not going to get too much into Will Levis's comments.
Bless his heart.
I know a lot of people are talking about Will Levis. There were national articles written about him saying his situation sucks. I saw Pro Football Talk put out an article. Will Levis just, it's over. I feel like people just need to move on.
But there's a but to all this, Jake. They all talk about his Jordan Palmer camp that he did.
Right,
with him.
He was great.
To me, that's just, you know, pumping him up for some sort of trade options.
Yeah.
I mean, that's truly what it is.
I think that's all it is, and I think he will be gone before the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I like Will Levis. I thought he had the talent, but at this point, you picked a quarterback number one overall. Like, it's time for everybody to move on and not worry about what Will Levis is doing. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, talking about Cam Ward, did you see his goatee that he's rocking at Chiefs OTAs?
No.
I might have to find a picture of this. I saw this yesterday. I was like, man, Mahomes is just rolling with the, like, I'm over 30 now look. He's got the full goatee. He had a hat on, which you couldn't see the hair, and it kind of looked like he was bald. I was like, man, this dude's starting to look like, God, who is
boy.
Yeah, you see it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. oh boy. He's definitely got, like, the dad goatee.
He does. Yeah, he's like, got the dad goatee.
He reminds me of, like, a Saturday morning baseball dad that comes in with his coffee and sunglasses.
Like the assistant coach on your little league team.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, hey, why is my son not out there in right field? Well, your son, you know, he's can't catch the ball. That's why.
So, Mahomes with a new look.
Interesting.
As he tries to get back to what would be a fourth straight Super Bowl. Titans, phase three of OTAs, saw some good, saw some bad. We're going to talk about Xavier Restrepo in the next segment because I know you have some thoughts on the undrafted receiver. But we did get to see a little bit from the other young receivers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the big positive takeaway that I've heard from a lot of people who were at practice is that Chimray Dike and Elik Iyemanner, they look like NFL wide receivers. And that's a huge first step for the Titans is that those two guys – they don't have to be stars in year one,
right,
but they've got to be serviceable playing level NFL wide receivers from the very start.
Yeah, because if you're going to give up on Treylon Burks, I'm not saying you, I'm saying Titans in general.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to start, you know, looking at other options. And
right.
When you have draft two guys like that that are actually producing immediately, that's a promising sign.
Treylon Burks was out on the field.
He was.
I think it is going to be a Caleb Farley situation. And I know last year I was pleading with everybody not to give up on Caleb Farley. I will not do that for Treylon Burks. But I think it's the same thing of you're going to get camp.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to show us a ton if you're going to make this team. Like, Treylon Burks has to come in, be in the best shape of his life, and make plays consistently through training camp in the preseason, or he's going to get cut.
I have an idea to Treylon Burks before we go to break. What if they play him throughout? I mean, they probably will throughout the whole preseason. They end up targeting him majority of the time, puts out a pretty good tape, and they, you know, put out in the press, I think Treylon's going to make the team. Could that be another possible trade option?
Like, I think so.
Obviously, that's a very funny thing to say because people think, oh, this guy thinks that he wants to trade everybody. Well, like, you got to think the business aspect, you know what I mean?
If he shows enough flashes, like, you're not getting anything more than probably
sixth or seventh
a sixth. Yeah. I would say a sixth is the very ceiling of what you would get for him. But if you don't envision him as a player on your team, like, let's say the Titans are looking at their wide receiver room and they say, you know what, Treylon's been good enough to make this team, but we feel better about keeping Xavier Restrepo or Bryce Oliver.
Right.
Because we feel like they have more potential moving forward. They're younger and maybe a little less injury prone.
They're more versatile.
Right. They
can
do
use them
more
in other aspects of the game.
Maybe that is something that you look into. See if somebody will toss a sixth or a seventh round pick.
It's a tricky thing to do, obviously, because it's preseason. Gets cut, they go pick them up. Understandable, but it's just something to look into, maybe.
And it's something that does happen at the end of training camp is that some of these guys who, you know, when you get cut, you go into the waiver process, and maybe a team towards the end of the waivers feels like Treylon Burks could be a good depth add for them,
yeah,
and they don't want to risk losing him. So, hey, Titans, we'll give you a sixth, you give us back a seventh, we'll take Treylon Burks.
Call it a day, yeah.
I think it's an option. I think if two guys are going to be traded from the Titans, it's Levis and Burks.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two guys. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call. Don't forget our question of the day. What is the best sports weekend of the year? We'll give our answers coming up at the top of the hour. Be sure to tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Indianapolis Indians. Pregame begins at 5:20. The first pitch is at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. We'll keep talking Titans on the other side. Dr. Crane has some thoughts on Xavier Restrepo and maybe has used an AI friend to get some help on this one. We'll talk about the undrafted free agent out of Miami coming up next. You're on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Just a little teaser there. Connor Newt's going to join us in the next segment, talk a little wrestling. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Woolman, Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Again, Connor will join us live via our phone lines, driven by WolseyCountyHyundai.com from Knoxville, Tennessee, as he is out in enemy territory this weekend. We'll also get to our question of the day, what is the best weekend in sports, and talk some NCAA baseball after the NCAA tournament opened yesterday. But back to the Titans here. Nick, you came in today, and you said, I want to talk about Xavier Restrepo. Undrafted free agent, but this is a guy who, before he ran the 4.8 40, was being mocked as like third, fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Could he end up being one of the more talented undrafted free agents that the Titans ever get, especially with the connection that he has with Cam Ward?
Yeah. I, you know, use the wonderful internet and the AI versions of things and just, you know, gave a good career simulation of Xavier Restrepo and his rookie season with him being a prominent, I guess, figure in this roster. Out of 17 games, had 5 starts, 42 receptions, 471 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Would you be all right with that for a rookie
year? I think I'd be okay with that, yeah.
That'd be fair.
That would work, yeah.
And going on into like year 2, upgraded to 700 yards, give or take. Year 3, 900 yards. We're just increasing. And then year 4, a little bit of a digression, a little bit. 648 yards, 3 touchdowns. Still, you know, producing. But my question is, would you say out of just those first 4 years on a nice trajectory. Could he be the best undrafted wide receiver and or undrafted player for the Titans in franchise history?
Well, Drew Bennett holds that rank right now. Right. He would have to put up a pretty solid career to ever catch him.
Right.
But I think if you get that out of Xavier Restrepo over a four-year span as an undrafted free agent, if you get a year where Xavier Restrepo has 900 yards, you take it and run.
Yeah.
Again, there was almost no investment into Xavier Restrepo. You don't have to draft capital, money. Like, it was a no-risk signing, I guess. There was absolutely no risk in bringing Xavier Restrepo in. And if you got a season where he has 900 yards, take it and run.
Because everybody online is mocking him as like a, not like, you know, making fun of him, but like mocking him as like a Danny Amendola or that type of slot receiver. But I'll give you his whole career at the very bottom here just to give you a little more, I guess, context. 8 seasons with the Titans, played 125 games, 525 receptions, 6,034 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 1 Pro Bowl.
If Xavier Restrepo ever makes a Pro Bowl, then it is a dream scenario.
Okay. I mean, that's obviously...
If he plays 8 years for the Titans, that's a dream scenario, because that means that he was good enough to get a second contract.
Right.
And again, I understand why, you know, Jared had the whole tweet about why are people rooting for Restrepo. I get that you should have higher hopes for Iomanner and DK, because they have more of the NFL traits.
Mm-hmm.
They were fourth-round picks. But Restrepo, there is something to be said about just a football guy. And you watch Xavier Restrepo on film, it's like he just knows how to find the space in the zones. And that's something that is kind of just an intangible thing. Like, Travis Kelce was so good at that. I wouldn't say Travis Kelce is like a super athletic, traity tight end. Like, he's not the fastest guy. He's fast. He's not the biggest tight end. But he just has such a feel for defenses and where he can settle in, and the quarterback knows how to find him. Cam Ward and Xavier Restrepo already have that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And Xavier Restrepo, just watching a few games of him this year, he just does have that knack of finding the open space in a defense, settling in, and he makes the catch. And I don't know if you can really find that on a 40 time or a vertical. We'll have to see how he plays when he's actually on the football field.
I think it's a craft that it goes unnoticed, because you're talking about finding those pockets in the zones. Like, yeah, I think Restrepo is one of those players that,
it's just a text.
Oh, okay. I think Restrepo is one of those guys where you gotta watch out for him. Hey, don't catch the strep, man. You don't want to catch it.
Don't catch the strep.
Don't catch the strep.
I'm excited to see him in preseason, because I think he is very much a bubble guy on this team. I would lean towards him actually not making the roster right now.
Really?
I just think that there's so many bodies in that room. You've got locks in Ridley, Lockett, Iomanner, and DK. That's four already. Let's say, optimistically, you take 7. I think Van Jefferson's going to make the team.
Okay.
I think, so then you've got 2 spots for the rest of your wide receivers, which is Bryce Oliver, Restrepo, Burks, if he's in contention, Colton Dowell, Jaquan Jackson. Like, there are a lot of guys fighting for those spots, and that's if you take 7. James Prochet, who, if he's your returner, that's a spot on the team. There's too many people for too little spots. He's really going to have to separate himself from that group that I just mentioned if he's going to make the team. But I think he's right there. I would lean towards him being a practice squad guy, but if he sneaks onto the team, I wouldn't doubt that he finds his way onto the field and ends up making some plays this season.
Like, if everybody's so gung-ho about, you know, Treylon Burks not making this team, like, you can scratch that off the list. Bryce Oliver, like, I understand, versatile player, use him in different aspects of the game. In my opinion, off just paper and just what I've seen from college with Xavier Restrepo, give him the upper edge, all right, just for the time being.
Yeah.
Scratch him off the list. Who else did you say? James Prochet.
Prochet.
And Colton Dowell.
Colton Dowell, Bryce Oliver, Jaquan Jackson. So I think Jackson's cut. That one.
So cut that off the list. So you're left with Colton Dowell and James Prochet.
Yeah.
And with all due respect to Colton Dowell,
I don't think Colton Dowell is making this team.
Yeah. So then you're left with James Prochet and Xavier Restrepo.
I can see it.
I'm playing the elimination.
It's going to be – preseason's going to be very interesting because, again, I think you got the four locks. I would put Van Jefferson as almost a lock too.
Yeah.
So you're playing for one or two spots in that wide receiver room. Restrepo's going to have to play well. Like, you're going to have to notice him during preseason games. And, you know, scrolling through Twitter during the open training camp practices, you're going to have to see some of those tweets from Teron Davenport and others of like, wow, Xavier Restrepo just showed up again. He's going to have to prove himself to make this roster. You're an undrafted free agent. Nothing's being given to you.
Right.
But if he does make the team, there is something to be said about that connection with Cam Ward of, yeah, these other guys, they're going to learn that chemistry with Cam, but Xavier Restrepo already has it. And early in the season, if he gets just a couple reps, he's not going to be a guy who plays 60, 70 snaps.
No.
But maybe he gets 15, and if he can make a play on three or four of those, he could end up starting to become a more regular player for this team.
And that's why I bring up this conversation originally is because of the stuff I'm reading online about his work ethic. He's outperforming certain players on this wide receiver core. Like, that's why it intrigues me so much that this is Xavier Restrepo, wide receiver, slot guy for the Titans, the no-name, undrafted guy, could really be a huge factor for this team coming up this season.
It's going to be a really fun year for the Titans, even if they don't win a lot of games,
mm-hmm.
because you have a lot of young pieces that, if they just show some flashes, could lead to a lot of hope and excitement moving forward. Cam Ward is the obvious one. You have a young quarterback. He's going to get eyes on the games. And I've said it before, this season, the outlook for the Titans is going to depend a lot more on what Cam Ward looks like than the number of wins and losses.
Right.
But you also have these young receivers and Gunnar Helm at tight end. If, let's say, two of those four guys look like hits and look like NFL starters after year one, like Iamanner and Helm or DK and Restrepo, two of those guys look like hits, I think you feel really good about this offense moving into 2026. Femi Oladejo, another guy on defense that we've mm-hmm. talked about. I don't know what it is. You know, it's a gut feeling like you have.
There you go.
Just seeing that guy out there ripped, just a specimen out there on the field.
Yeah.
It looks like that dude's going to be a guy for this team. Maybe not a 12, 13 sack guy, but I think he can be, by the end of his career, like a Brian Arakpo type player.
I'd be all right with that. If you're spending a second-round pick on a guy, I'd be okay with that.
Like we've said that the Titans probably are going to use their first-round pick next year on an edge rusher.
Oh, yeah.
That guy can be your premier guy. But I think Femi Oladejo can be a three-down edge rusher for this team for a long time. And again, this is just based off of, you know, the body type.
Right.
And the energy that he shows on the field. Like he had the mic'd up during rookie minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like he's got the character and he's got the physical tools to be the guy. We'll see if it pans out on the field, and I think this year will probably be a less impactful year for Femi. But moving forward, I'm excited to see that guy on the field because he just looks like a dude out there during practice.
Yeah, and two, you know, everybody's talking about Jeffrey Simmons, him not being in attendance for these practices, and you have Tavondre Sweat as well. I'm not saying him for attendance,
yeah.
but just those two guys in general will take up majority of your pressures.
Right.
So it's going to open up a lot of room on the outside for a guy like Femi Oladejo.
He'll get some one-on-ones, and he's wearing number 7 now, which, interesting number for an outside linebacker, yeah. but, you know, it's the way the NFL has gone these days with the lax rules on
numbers.
What position groups can wear what numbers.
Hey, some people look at the number 7 as lucky. Maybe he's lucky.
It's true, and I'm just glad it's not being worn by a quarterback this year. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Again, our question of the day, what is the best weekend in sports? I think we're in the midst of one of them right now with college baseball regionals, the Women's College World Series, NBA, NHL playoffs, but plenty out there. You can text or call with your thoughts. Also a great weekend, because 102.5 The Game is your racing station. Tune in all weekend long for the NASCAR races at the Nashville Super Speedway on The Game, presented by Green Trees. Tonight, the Tennessee Lottery 250 is at 6:30 p.m. I believe you can also hear that on 8:30 a.m. as well. Tomorrow, the Cracker Barrel 400 is at 6. Coverage also available on The Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Green Trees Company is a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary located in Hendersonville and a new location in West Nashville, and available online at greentrees.com. When we come back, Connor Newt may not be with us, but he's going to call in at 9:45 on a Saturday for Newt's Notes. That's up next. You're on Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We may not be graced with Connor Newt's presence in studio, but he can't miss his own segment here on Forest Company. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman with you. And now we are joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Connor Newt, live from the Evil Empire in Knoxville, Tennessee. Connor, how are you this morning? I've heard it's been a tiring morning for you.
Oh, dude, I'm feeling it. I don't know if you can tell by my voice. I went a little hard last night. I didn't do anything bad, but I went a little hard.
What was the wrestling event, last night or tonight?
It was last night. Yeah, that, I'm feeling the effects of seeing the last real champion for the final time in John Cena.
Wow.
And, I mean, it was electric. It was some good stuff. Now, they did play Rocky Top at one point, and I'll send you the video. I sat there looking just absolutely livid. But other than that, it was a good time. It was a very good time, actually.
Connor, as a wrestling fan you are, starting from the very beginning of John Cena's career to the, you know, Attitude Era and so forth, seeing the actual end of John Cena and his career live in person, I'm not saying it's the last show he's doing, but just what was that for you, man? Like, I feel like that must have been just a wholesome experience.
It was surreal. I will say that. I'm going to make myself sound super young here, but there has never been a time in my life where John Cena has not been wrestling in the WWE. I think he started in 2002. I was born in 04, so... For our listeners out there, if you feel old, then I'm sorry.
I feel old.
Yeah. But it was surreal because the first time I saw him was actually a house show in Bridgestone Arena. It was just like a house show, Jake, is what they call just like a random show. Like, it's not televised.
Thank you.
Just... yeah, sorry I added you.
I actually didn't know, so I'm glad you were able to clarify.
Yeah. Well, it's like a non-televised, they just roll out the roster and put on as many matches as possible just to keep you entertained.
Gotcha.
The first time I saw Cena was a house show. I think it was 2016, maybe. He was a good guy then, and he was the champion. So, of course, I saw him there. And then last night, he's now a heel, which we call bad guys. And he's the champion. So I have seen both ends of the spectrum now for John Cena, which I never thought I'd be able to say, but now I can say it. It was also really funny to me to see Thompson Bowling just decked out in blue, because SmackDown is blue. So maybe the first and last time that building will be decked out in blue and all of us in the same building are cheering for the same thing. So I'm glad that Big Blue Takeover made its way to Knoxville. I'll say that.
Speaking of which, how is the vibes in Knoxville with the regional going on there? I know Tennessee won their game yesterday, play Cincinnati today. Is it a lot of orange baseball fans out there this weekend?
Yeah, but that's my problem. These people will go to the baseball games and wear anything but baseball. Like, the amount of, like, James Pierce football jerseys I saw walking towards Lindsey Nelson, I was like, you guys got to get your stuff together, man. Like, this isn't how we do things. But the traffic here, especially on campus, is insane. I'm actually overwhelmed on this campus because it's, like, 10 times as big as MTSU. So, like, I'm like, I don't know if I could ever go here. It's too overwhelming for me. I don't know where. It's like a whole city. It's insane.
believe Knoxville is.
It is a city.
It is a city, yeah. I know what you're talking about, the university. I was just messing with you, Connor. Yeah.
Well, it is a city. It's not a good one, but it's a city.
Exactly. You know, we were talking a little earlier. I want to get your thoughts on the Xavier Restrepo comments. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but I put Xavier Restrepo's career through a little AI-generated thing, and his total career outlook was like 8 seasons with the Titans, 6,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and a Pro Bowl. Obviously, that's like the greatest thing on planet Earth, what you want from an undrafted wide receiver. But do you think he has the intangibles to be probably the greatest Titans undrafted wide receiver, minus Drew Bennett right now?
Oof. I mean, you're putting me on the spot.
It's a loaded question. I know. It's a loaded question.
We'll start simple. I do think he's going to make the roster. Jake, I did hear you say you would lean towards him not making it. I think if we're keeping 7, you're going to keep, obviously, Calvin Ridley, obviously, Tyler Lockett, Chimere Dike, Alec Aiomanner. Is it Aiomanner? We're doing the weekly thing. Aiomanner or Aiomanner?
Aiomanner. Just say, yeah, whatever. We'll say it however we want to say it until somebody corrects us.
Until he hosts his own press conference where he just goes up there and says his name and walks off, I will continue to mess it up.
There we go.
Well, those 4 are locks. I think you lean towards Van Jefferson. I think he'll make the roster. Then you go down to 2. It's between Treylon Burks, who I think will probably get his last ride. Bryce Oliver, who I don't think will make the roster. There's a big one I'm missing, I know. Jaquan Jackson, who I think kind of blew it last year with his return expertise, as you want to put it. Then I think, you know, you kind of lean towards Xavier Restrepo. He's a guy that Cam Ward obviously has a lot of chemistry with, and I think he is making some big strides in OTAs. I realize we're not in pads, and you can't really see a full scope of what they can do on the football field, but you can get a little bit of a glimpse, and he's been kind of impressive. I really think, now that I think about it, I know I've said the opposite of this before, but I really think that 40 time is the only thing that just absolutely tanked his draft stock. I mean, he was a first-team All-American, first-team All-ACC receiver. I mean, he was a Blitnikoff contender. So it's just I think he's going to make the roster. And in fact, I'm pretty sure I guaranteed it. So it's set in stone. He's making the roster. I mean, come on. Everything I say turns out to be correct, right?
Connor Newt joining us live from Knoxville for his weekly Newt's Notes segment. How you feeling about the Batcats, Connor?
Oh, that was a heartbreaker, man. We were watching it on the way to Knoxville because obviously they were supposed to start at 11, didn't throw out first pitch till like 2:45 Central time, which is God's time, not this stupid Eastern time I'm stuck in. It's terrible. Anyways, they get up a 3-0 lead on West Virginia headed to the 7th. Give up 2. I'm thinking, okay, bullpen's been a little dicey all year. Hopefully they can pull this one out. End up losing 4-3. Now they got to win 4 consecutive games to come out of the Clemson Regional on top. I don't think they're going to do it, to be honest with you. It's unfortunate, but I'm happy that they made it this year. They lost so much from last year's Omaha team. Pitching has been a struggle all year. The bats get hot, but I've heard Andrew Allegretta say this too. They're so reckless on the bases. They love to steal home, especially, and stealing home is obviously the toughest base to steal because you're right there. So they're not going to come out of this regional. But yesterday was a really fun day as far as baseball. I mean, you had Oregon went down, Ole Miss went down, Vanderbilt with a major comeback victory over Wright State. I mean, what a day. I heard you guys talking about this a little bit. One of the more fun weekends in sports for me. It's always these, you know, these NCAA tournaments. Like, I'll answer the question. The most fun weekend in sports is the first weekend of March Madness. I mean, come on. You sit there all day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and just watch like 60 games. It's incredible. So, but the NCAA baseball is not as fun, but it's fun. I mean, you got a lot of stuff that can happen. A lot of these teams get hot. Miami is a team, perfect example of that. Team we didn't think was going to make the tournament. They were on the bubble for a lot of it. Then we find out they weren't even on the bubble. They were just in comfortably. But they took down Alabama yesterday. So baseball is a weird sport to where, you know, it's not usually the best team that wins it most of the time. It's the hottest team. So I'm curious to see who comes in and just runs the table. Could it be Vanderbilt? I think it might be Texas, but you never know.
Yeah, and you mentioned Miami. Columbia also beating Southern Miss. So setting up for Vanderbilt, if they can get out of this weekend, that they may not have to face a one or a two seed, depending on what happens down there in Hattiesburg. So you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to ask you our question of the day to end it, but you went there. NCAA March Madness, that is your best weekend of the year.
I mean, of course, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, what other option is there, really? First weekend of college football, maybe. Because that's kind of like football is back. And then once the NFL kicks in, you're like, oh, yeah, we're way back. Nothing hits harder than March Madness. But the first episode of Red Zone when the NFL season starts is pretty close.
That's it. That is back, a very good one, too.
Sitting back and watching Scott Hansen take us through 7 hours of commercial-free football on the first Sunday of the NFL season. I mean, that's life, man. I usually watch the Titans game first, and then we go over to Red Zone. This year, we're going to have to change it up because they play a 3:25 kickoff. So we may have to start with Red Zone, then flip over to the Titans, and then come back.
Yeah, that's a good point. Titans playing at 3:25 for, I believe, second time in 3 years. Or second time in four. The Giants game where Saquon scored the two-pointer. That was a late game, too. Connor, thanks for joining us. Hope you travel safe back from Knoxville, and glad you enjoyed your time at the Evil Empire this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to suck tomorrow, and I have to get up and work at 6 a.m. and make sure the station doesn't explode, but it'd be better than being in this godforsaken country.
Hey, Connor, before you go, quick drop. If you're looking for some lunch, Gus's Good Times Deli right off campus is the spot.
Yeah, we passed through all the bars yesterday. I didn't go to any of them, but I was like, I did not know Peyton Manning had a bar here. It was very insightful information to realize that Knoxville's most famous celebrity owns a bar.
Yeah, it's a really good joint, too. I know you probably don't have time, but maybe when Kentucky comes. No, Kentucky's playing in Lexington this year against Tennessee, so yeah, never mind.
I'll be there.
Never
I'll
mind.
Be there this year.
Yes, making your debut at Kroger Field. Connor, thanks again for taking some time, and you will be gracing Nashville's ears once again next week.
Indeed.
Well, hold on. We didn't talk about the most important event of the week.
What?
Go ahead.
We got a trailer that just dropped.
Oh, well, that was my headline, Connor, and I was disappointed that you weren't here to, get excited with me.
I'm very excited. It's going to be 10 times better than the current one we have.
Yes, I was iffy on getting the new one. Now I'm all the way in after the trailer and everything we learned.
Sandman hooked you.
Sandman got me. You. The crowd a cappella. Connor, have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, boys. Well, it'll just be me and
Fraser.
Well,
that's true. I won't talk to you next week. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Hopefully some things get changed around here in a couple weeks. We got some big stuff coming.
Maybe some exciting news coming for the show in a little bit. Thank you, Connor.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you.
Connor Newt joining us for Newt's Notes at 9:45 on a Saturday. It's so hard to say goodbye.
Yeah.
We love Connor. Great stuff from him as always. Coming up next, we're going to answer our question of the day. Connor just answered it. What is the best sports weekend of the year? We'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. This week's Nashville's best deal is 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two on deck here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.